Welcome to Comadres y Comics.
Comadres y Comics is a podcast hosted by three Latina women.
We focus on the Latinx presence in the comic book industry,
with a strong special focus on strong female characters and creators.
Hey guys, welcome back to a new episode of Comadres y Comics. This is episode number 29. How are you guys doing?
Ooh, 29. All right, I'm doing great.
It's so funny that she says, I'm doing great. But Kristen is the one who's injured.
Yes, if some of you are listening to this podcast thinking, oh my gosh, finally they're back. I've missed them so much. I want to know what Comadres y Comics has been up to. Our slight delay has been due to the fact that I broke my ankle.
She broke her ankle at Emerald City Comic Con.
Yes.
Please tell them.
I flew to Seattle to go to Emerald City Comic Con on March 1st. We landed in the airport and I went to grab my luggage off the carousel, and when I went to grab it, I lifted it up and didn't notice that there was like a little barricade in the way. And so when I lifted it up, obviously the carousel was still going. It kept going and it hit that barricade, but the momentum of it going and hitting, I fell down, but my foot was actually lodged between the little barricade and the carousel as well. So when I fell, my foot stayed in place.
Oh, jeez. No. Oh, my God. Hell no.
Yes.
Oh my God, that's awful. You know what? You told me you broke your ankle, but you didn't go into detail.
Yeah.
So just thinking about your foot staying in the position while you fell over.
Yes.
Is just really. It describes some kind of excruciating. Did you cry?
No.
Shit,
it was actually pretty surprising to me that I didn't feel pain. I felt that my bone broke. I knew immediately because I felt it and I heard it in my body. So any of you who've gotten like your ear pierced or, you know, your cartilage pierced, and you can actually hear the crunching as they, that's
how, oh shit. No.
That's what I experienced with my my broken ankle.
Oh my God, how horrible.
But it just happened to be in a place where I don't know if it was for me, it was just the adrenaline or the shock or whatever, but it didn't hurt. I knew it was broken, also because when I was on the ground and I had my leg in the air, my foot was hanging at a 90-degree angle.
Oh, my God.
Oh, hell no.
She has that shit, dude.
I haven't seen the photos. Oh my god,
the photos are straight out of The Walking Dead. I swear to God.
Yeah, because unfortunately, I was out of state when it happened, and so I went straight from the airport to the emergency room, and they did emergency surgery that night, and they put me into a splint, and they said you need to get follow-up within 10 days, but because I was out of the state, by the time I came home, because I was already, that happened on the first day, by the time I came home, already 3 days had passed, 4 days had passed. I wasn't able to get an appointment with my primary for another 4 days. Then they had to put in a referral request that took a whole week to come back to me. Then it was another week for me to actually get to the... So by the time that I actually did follow up with an orthopedist, it was 20 days.
Oh,
and
no.
The splint's integrity was already starting to fall apart and get loose. And so... And I have an incision from the surgery, and it was rubbing and chafing because the looseness of the... the splint. So... apparently there is something called, fracture blisters. And, the pain out of nowhere came, and I was like, I don't know what this is from. I don't know what's going on. I just knew that it was inside, and I told my husband, we have to go to the emergency room. I don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. And we went to the emergency room, and when they took it off, the doctor, I was at an angle where I couldn't see because it was off to the side. The doctor was like, oh, it looks like you have a little blister here. I'm like, oh, my gosh, a little blister? That's why I came to the emergency room. I told Eddie, do not tell anyone I came to the emergency room because I have a blister. Uh-huh. But people, it was not a little blister. Oh, my gosh.
I
mean, I have pictures of it. I'll show you off air. People, when they see it, it's Eddie. My husband loves to show people.
I encourage it.
Yeah, but it looks like my leg is a prop on The Walking Dead.
Like, oh my god, it's like the first time I saw it, I had to look away and then I had to look back because I could not, like, my brain could not process it. I was just like, is this makeup? And I was just like, it's not makeup. That is, the human body is,
yes,
kind of gross.
So somebody was, I thought it was you, but I think it was a regular in the shop that when Eddie showed him the picture, he was like, that is some Civil War shit.
I think it was Hunter.
He's like, looks like she got hit in the leg with a musket.
Are you serious?
Never seen those old Civil War pictures?
Yeah,
like,
but I mean, that's how it looks.
It's true. Like, that was some Civil War shit. When he said it, I was just like, yeah. He was really funny because he said, like, if they had shown me that, I would have been like, that's it. Take the leg off.
Right. Honestly. Not knowing, not being a doctor, just being a layperson and seeing the picture, I would have been like, oh my god, they're gonna cut my leg off because it's already dead. Yeah. Okay, this is the original. I'm showing Sarah the original picture for what made me go to the emergency room.
Okay, I'm afraid now.
Oh my god.
You're getting this live.
Dude.
Live reaction.
I almost felt like I wanted to vomit. My face is hot.
I had to look away the first time I saw it, and then I looked right back because I was just like, oh my god.
Now look, this, I went to the doctor and they passed it, and then they said, come back on Monday and we will look. This is where they're trying to make me believe that this is better, but look at this.
Oh my god, it looks like necrosis, dude.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I mean, it's not necrosis, but some of that is dead flesh from...
It feels like it's rotting off.
And
it
looks how fat my foot is.
It looks like it's rotting off, dude. Oh, wow.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. Dude, wow.
I thought me breaking my toenail was gross. That is some true gross shit.
Oh,
yeah.
My god, dude. Yeah.
Oh. Sarah's sweating. She's like wiping her face.
Dude, I'm always... I feel bad for dragging you over here to record. Like, that foot looks freaking crazy.
Yeah.
Like, now crazy. Imagine that is what her foot is like right now. Yeah. Underneath that cast.
Yeah.
No. That's
all to say that yes, we've been missing. It's a valid reason.
It's more than a valid reason
that we haven't recorded.
I mean, but like, we're still
just
sorry.
Go on without me. Yeah. I'm dead to the world.
We still regret that we haven't recorded, and I definitely have missed being here with you guys.
Definitely, yeah. Definitely felt the missing of us getting together and just talking about comics and stuff.
Yeah.
But aside from your foot being like crazy looking, you made it to WonderCon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my! I can't believe
made it.
I would have been crying. Just like, no.
She still went to Emerald City.
Yeah, went to Emerald City.
Oh, no.
And that was the day after surgery. So
ooh.
We landed in Seattle like about 1 o'clock on about, was it 1 o'clock? Yeah. Or 11. I don't know, maybe 11, between 11 and 1 on Thursday. I went to the hospital and had my surgery that evening, like at around 8 or 9. Mm-hmm. They released me from the hospital on Friday at noon, and on Saturday I went to Emerald City.
Oh my god. Yeah. No way. No.
And I
when
walked,
your nerd cred is strong.
I quote unquote walked from the ferry, which is about a mile, to the convention center on my little scooter.
Oh my god. You're such a trooper. I would have been like, just leave me at the airport, pick me up when we have to fly back home.
But so I knew that if I had gone to Emerald City so soon after the actual break and surgery, that I was fine for WonderCon, but the only difference was that WonderCon, the convention center, the Anaheim Convention Center's floors had rug. There were no hard wood or linoleum or anything, and so actually, on my little knee scooter, it was a lot of freaking work. I only made it to three Artist Alley aisles before somebody ran into my leg so hard that my toes bent backwards and popped my foot. And at that point, I was like, okay, I'm done. I'm just going to sit down and wait for the panel.
Oh, wow. Wow. Speaking of, oh my god, I can't believe you even did that. That's amazing, incredible. You are my hero.
Damn it!
I swear I would be like, just fly me back home. I'm laying in bed forever. But she made it WonderCon and to our panel, and I wanted to extend a very big and much love and thank you to Fanbase Press.
Yes, we would love to thank Fanbase Press, because or else we would not have been at WonderCon on that panel. And Barbara is amazing.
She's amazing.
And our audience just, I mean, this is time we've done this panel, and it just grows and grows, and this is the biggest audience we've had since we started, and the questions, and then the people who come up after, everyone is so amazing, and I just, this particular panel, I think really, I think was touching to me.
For
a lot of reasons.
Yeah, for a lot of reasons, but it just, we got in a lot of people. It surprised me by how many people were interested in our panel. And,
What you missed the first time that Jen and I did it together.
Yes, I
and
did.
That I think that time we were talking to like a total of maybe 10 people.
Yeah. And then what was our first panel at Long Beach Comic
Long
Expo?
Beach, I believe. It wasn't Long Beach for sure.
No, it was
October,
the
right?
first time that we did it was
Stanley's
Kamikaze.
That's right.
Then we went to Long Beach Expo, where we had a slightly bigger crowd. And then we, to WonderCon, where it was like, the room was, it had to be at least half full.
It was very, very full.
And so it's not very often that panels do get packed, but I was surprised by how many people were excited for our panel and wanted to listen to what we had to say.
I mean, right before the panel, I always get all, you know, frazzed out, bent out of shape, like, oh my god, I have all this energy.
Oh yeah, this was Sarah's first panel.
No,
no, it's the second
panel.
Oh, second panel.
She did Long Beach.
I did.
Oh yeah, you did Long Beach. That's right.
I was seeing the people come in, and I'm like, okay. And the cool thing is, like, you're up in a kind of like a little stage, and you can look at your audience. And so, like, I saw a lot of people, and I saw this, you know, these look in their eyes that I really appreciate. It was like wonder, like a sense of wonder. So it was really moving for me. I really loved it. I really, really did love it. And I want to thank Fanbase Press for making it happen. And it's just such an honor to participate and to have a lot of people come over and ask questions and, you know, participate in the panel with us. So Jen and I, we went on Saturday. Like, most of the day, we just
went to panels.
And so I was getting kind of hyped up, because there's a lot of great information in panels, and a lot of passion and a lot of camaraderie. So I really was feeling that all day. And then for our panel to go so amazing, it was just like the icing on... No, wait, the cherry on top of the icing? How does that go?
It was the same just with the cherry on top.
Yeah, thank you.
Just the cherry on top.
Okay, cherry on top.
Well, and I wasn't able to attend it, but I also heard that there was a really awesome panel that was completely in Spanish. What?
Yeah,
and Samurai-achi. I can never say that.
Okay. Samurai-achi.
Samurai-achi. Dude, Mark Alexander, he was on the panel.
Really? Oh, that's great. That's amazing.
Another
I'm very
panel.
Happy for him.
There was another panel that was delegated. Is that the correct or fronted or introduced by Nathaniel Osoyo.
Moderated.
Moderated.
Oh, okay. I didn't know what you were trying to
say. I was just trying to say. Does she mean moderator? I was going to say moderator.
I speak English. But yes, he was the moderator of the augmented reality panel.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. Oh,
so
okay.
A lot of the great talent that we reviewed here on Comadres y Comics were moderators or participants in panels at this WonderCon. So, man, it's so amazing.
It was great, and a lot of them were there. Nathaniel Solo was there. The Peau Noir guys were there. A few others that we reviewed were there.
And on our panel, which was Latinx, Latinx creators, and characters, readers. And fans or readers. It was Comadres y Comics, all three of us, but we actually got to share the panel stage with Sebastian Kadlechik from the creator of Quince, which is an amazing honor.
Oh, absolutely.
Definitely. We love his comic. We absolutely do.
Dude, seriously, there came a point where he was talking about his work with Quince and, you know, and about his mom, and I was, like, tearing up. I'm like,
me too.
Don't cry.
I was just like, oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. It was really from the heart, and you could totally tell. So, yeah, it was a great honor to be on stage with him. Anyways, any other things you guys would like to add?
Oh yeah, there were also the reason that I didn't that we didn't record earlier before Emerald City Comic Con and all that stuff.
Oh yeah,
was because I was in Guatemala.
Yeah,
yay! She was on vacation.
I was on vacation for a week. The reason I went was actually because then my grandfather passed away and my mom. Yeah, my mom actually rushed first, and so that she could like. Maybe see if she could, like, actually get there in time.
Yeah.
She missed him by 30 minutes.
Oh, no.
She said that when she got there, he was still warm, but he had already passed away. And so she was there. She had to help with preparations, funeral preparations, the burial and everything. Yeah. So by the time that I went there, I only went there for about 7, 8, 9 days? I got to see his grave and everything, but I was there for a week and it was a lot of fun. It was still a lot.
She was sharing pictures over social media, and I felt like I was there.
Yeah,
I've never been to Guatemala. I don't know really anything about the history of Guatemala or the culture or anything, and it was fascinating to me. So I super appreciated that you shared that, and it makes me like. I can picture now when you share the stories, like I picture now the things that you talk about when you told us that you've gone back and visited and stuff. And so I just think that I think it's super interesting to learn the culture and history of other countries around the world, and not even countries, but here in the United States, our states have such rich, diverse culture as well. So,
absolutely, from architecture to the food, to just the climate, you know, it's just amazing. I mean, and if you take a little bit of time and kind of look into it, I mean, it's just so rewarding in the end. And I loved your pictures.
Yeah.
My favorite part was the cemetery.
The cemetery.
Yes, I loved the cemetery.
The cemetery, yeah.
It really struck me at how bright and beautiful they were.
Oh, yeah.
All the colors.
It's funny because when I said that the cemetery was beautiful over there, my mom was just like, no. Like, she was like, yeah. Well, she didn't say no, but then, like, she actually took a moment.
Yeah.
To look at it because she grew up with that cemetery and she was just so like, yeah, I guess it is. And it was kind of funny. She's just so like, she's like, I do like the colors. She's just so like, I just, she's just been living in the States so long that for her, the cemetery is like, the really fancy one? The forest?
Forest Hills.
Forest Hills Cemetery and stuff like that. Because we know a few people who
Forest Lawn.
Forest Lawn.
Yeah, there you go.
But Forest Lawn because we know a few people who are buried there. And it's expensive to be buried there. And the one that's right by Fox Hills Mall. That big cemetery right there, and there's the one in Inglewood as well, which she's mostly familiar with that. And but when we went there, I that was literally the first thing I said, because my sister, I have an older sister who was left behind when my mom came to the States, and she lives there, but she's renting a house there right now, and it costs her 800 quetzales, which roughly translates to a little over $100 of rent, and I almost cried. I was just so she pays like about $100 in rent, and I mean, in quetzales over there, it's still hard to get 800 quetzales, but also at the same time, just like fucking $100 for rent, like, oh my god, and it's a two-story house. She's renting that, and it's a very, very nice, but she lives literally right across the street from the cemetery, entrance. So when I saw it, and when the first time I saw it, I was just like, it's beautiful. And both my sister and my mom, it hadn't registered it to them until I said it, and they were like, yeah, I guess it is. And then I guess I kind of helped them with my grandpa and everything, that he was buried there, because I guess they were just like, because then they started talking about like, how are we going to cement and stuff, and they basically started talking about my grandpa, which is something that they had avoided until I got there, and I was just like, yo, tell me more. Where was he buried and all that stuff? And so I was glad I was able to help at least with that, because I only met my grandfather a few times. I was mostly sad that my mom was sad. There was an emotional disconnection right there. So I was sad, and I mostly regretted that I couldn't have known him more.
Yeah.
That I wasn't able to sit down with him and talk and get to know him. It wasn't as emotionally difficult for me as it was for my mom or for my grandma, or for my sister.
Yeah.
And my grandma too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was a fun trip, but all this to say is that I brought back beer.
from Guatemala. Well, let's open it up. Let's take a look.
Well, I actually bought three beers, and the first beer is called Gallo Cerveza, or known here in the States and out of Guatemala as Famoso. Or Famosa.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That actually sounds familiar to me. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's called Famosa. So okay. They kind of rebranded it a bit once it went international. But Gallo Cerveza has been in production since 1896.
That's amazing.
They have a very, very long history. And on the bottle itself, they have... Gallo is basically...
That means rooster.
Yeah, rooster. Right. I was going to say cock, but... But, I mean, that's
accurate.
That's accurate. but it has a rooster crowing on the front, and it says Gallo Cerveza on the back. And it says Tradición y Orgullo de Guatemala. So, proud tradition of Guatemala. And this is a 16 fluid ounce can. And
it's a lager.
It is a lager. It doesn't have a lot of alcohol, like ABV. It is 5% ABV.
That's about par for the course for a lager, though.
But this beer is the most popular beer in Guatemala. I grew up with this beer. My dad drinking this beer because above all else, if you gave him a Corona or a Tecate, or you get in one of these, he would always go for that one. I actually had to stop him from trying to drink this beer. Because when he saw that I came back with one, he was just like, ooh, beer. And I was just like, no, Dad. That's not for you. And then he was just like, ah. He was just like, I'm going in July. I'll drink it then. Pour some right now. I also brought two other beers. But these are... They're not
are
exactly
they
beers.
Or are they like wine coolers?
They're not wine coolers because they are, I believe, 6 or 7 ABV.
Yes, this one's 6.
Yeah. And these are made of Quetzalteca. Now, Quetzalteca is a spirit. It's a kind of spirit. Whoops.
Okay. Ooh, I can hear it.
It's a kind of spirit that is very, that is again a very popular spirit, and I grew up with that one too, because my mom kept a bottle of it, because not only was it used, is it used as like to make cocktails and everything, it's actually kind of considered a kind of medicine.
Really? Oh shoot, yes, no way.
Yeah, Genzanteca is considered a medicine. And I know this because it was used on me.
Is that one Jamaica?
Yes, that one is Jamaica.
Oh.
And so Quetzalteca is a kind of, it's a specific kind of a spirit that is made from sugar cane.
Oh, okay.
So
got it.
It's actually, it's very, very sweet. And when I say it was used on me, it's because when I was young, I fell asleep on the couch in the summer, and there was ants.
What the hell?
Yeah, on the couch. Yeah, and so when I woke up, I was covered in ant bites.
Yeah,
and I went crying to my mom, and she's just like, "It's okay, mija." And then she grabbed a bottle of Quetzalteca and poured it all over me. And
wow.
When I said that it burned, that's what I meant,
yeah,
is that it literally burned my body because they were,
oh my gosh.
They put it, and, well, the rashes went away.
Yeah. Wow.
Because it's a very, very strong spirit, and I didn't know this, but they branched out, like, a couple years ago, and they made Quetzalteca Rosa de Jamaica, which is hibiscus, basically,
mm-hmm,
and tamarindo flavor. So,
yeah,
like, these are like, actual drinks, because they do have, like, other bottles that, I guess, that they sell that you can mix and stuff like that, but this is, like, actual,
already
like,
already mixed.
Yeah. Like, these, they're all, they have Quetzalteca in them, along with Jamaica. They have Quetzalteca along with tamarindo.
Well,
so they're not, I wouldn't say they're beers. They're like,
I think that it's, there's no wine in it, so it's not a wine cooler,
it's
but
not
I,
a
it's
wine cooler.
It's kind of like those, like, Johnny Walker mixed drinks that you can buy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a alcohol in it and then a mixer.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Excellent.
So this definitely smells 100% like a lager.
Yes.
Something that if it's a, like, really cold, it's like really good on a hot day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't hold very much. Like, in my mind, I'm like, sorry, all you Guatemalan beer drinkers and lovers out there. But in my mind, I'm like, I'm going to drink it, and it's going to taste just like Corona.
You know, I know you just said it tastes like Corona, but I'm not a lager lover, and I don't like Corona, and I don't like Modelo, but I like this.
I was going to say. Yeah, no, it doesn't taste, that's what I was thinking, but it doesn't taste like Corona.
No, it doesn't taste like that. Because I'm looking more online, and it's because this is made from corn. This is made from corn.
Has a unique taste.
It has a very unique, because I just took a sip right now, and I'm actually surprised by how much I like it. It's very light. It's
very light.
But it's tasty.
And
yeah.
It's tasty.
Most lagers are super watery, and that's what I don't like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You could totally, like,
or at least mass-produced lagers, not craft lagers, but, yeah. And we had it sitting on the table for a while, so it's not as cold as it could be, but this would be amazing, super cold and chilled.
Mm-hmm. I really like it. It's really fresh.
My dad really loves drinking this cold as possible. But now I can see it's actually really cool. And I'm looking at it, and it says that it's made from sweet corn.
Mm-hmm.
It has honey and peppercorns in it.
Ooh.
And and a few other things, but I
feel that it must have some kind of citrus too, because when you open it and poured it at first, I felt like there was like a lemony smell.
Yeah.
And then it settled into that lager smell.
The peppercorn actually is very prominent for me, and I like it.
Mm-hmm. And I can actually taste honey.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Guatemala is actually known for some of its honey production.
Oh, really?
It's known for its maize.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
It's known for honey and mangoes.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I gotta say, I am pleasantly surprised with this.
Me too.
I'm not into lagers, but
no.
This one is delicious.
One's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, lagers, I think Corona, Bud Light, Coors,
mm-hmm,
Natural Ice, like all that kind of stuff, and that's exactly what I was expecting.
I was expecting
and
that too.
And this, although the front part of it
is a 100% basic lager. Mm-hmm. It's very complex in its aftertaste and all those things that you mentioned, the honey and the peppercorn everything, you can taste it at the end, and it's actually really good.
Yeah, it's actually pretty refreshing.
And actually, I'm thinking, like, if I drank, like, a 12-pack of this,
A 12-pack?
A 6-pack.
No, I'm talking about 12-pack.
A 12-pack? I mean,
yeah, because what is it called?
Tolerance?
My tolerance has increased, especially since Frank's been here. I'm thinking if I drank a 12-pack of this, I think the next day wouldn't hurt as much. Like, I feel like the hangover wouldn't be such a really bad factor.
Well, at 5%, you're probably right. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be the same as an IPA or something.
Mm-hmm. Well, no. Actually, I'm quite the reverse. When I have like craft beer, there's almost no hangover, even if I get really wasted.
Really?
Because it's so fresh. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like the longer it's been in storage and stuff. So when I have for instance, if I get drunk off of Tecate, I know the hangover's going to suck ass. or Modelo's the worst. Modelo's the worst one.
I never get hungover because I...
You moderate?
I drink by the strict rule of one pint of water for every beer I drink. And I stay hydrated because hangovers are generally your body's dehydration symptoms. So the next day you wake up, you're dry mouth, all your vitamins and minerals and everything have been just washed out, and you didn't stay hydrated because the beer and the alcohol in the beer has dehydrated you, and that's where the headaches come from and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I just have, since college, I've had a steadfast rule of one glass of water per alcoholic drink, and I never wake up. I've after New Year's Eve, on New Year's Day, I woke up the next day and went and did exercise class.
Oh my god.
And the funny thing is, I was still drunk. But I went, I wasn't hungover. That's why, because I was still drunk.
You were still drunk. You can't be hungover if you're still drunk.
I was in my 20s, so that, I'm sure it's a different story now.
Yeah, it takes a lot for me to be hungover.
No, I get hungover quite regularly, and I think the hangover quality would be a lot better with this beer. I just feel like it would really... Good,
so it is it's a pint can. Mm-hmm. Have you seen these in bottles or just cans?
I've seen it. Actually, my dad usually buys them in bottles, and glass bottles. So this is actually, it's not that I haven't seen it in a can, but I've usually seen it in smaller cans because it is an imported beer here in the States. It's available year round.
Okay.
So you can find it. Anyway, actually, where my parents usually go buy their materials for catering and stuff like that, it's available there. But you can usually find it in most Hispanic, like El Super, El Tapatío,
basically, you can probably find it where you can find Goya.
Yeah, pretty much. You can find it, you can find Goya. Uh-huh. It might be different because I know that the company who ships to here, I think they make theirs in Mexico.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Yeah. This one is made in Guatemala.
Does that upset your father? That his beer takes a detour through Mexico.
Yes, it does upset him because he says that it does taste different. He still likes it better than most other beers like Tecate and like Bud Light and Modelo and stuff like that. But that... the Guatemalan one does taste different. And I want to emphasize this because I completely and utterly believe it, because when I was in Guatemala and I was eating food, I almost cried. Because
It
was
delicious.
So fucking good.
Yeah, of course.
It is just...
It's freshly killed, is what I say.
Yeah, like my mom was telling me, like, when we woke up one day, she was just like, I heard... a long, like moo, and then she's just like, oh look, they killed the bull. And I'm just all like, how do you know? And she, for one, it was early in the morning, like yeah. really early, like ass o'clock in the morning. and whatchamacallit, and we were already awake because we were sleeping on the wooden beds, because that's what my grandma has.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, my back problems went away for a week, but oh my god, I could not, I didn't like really sleep that well, so I would wake up like so early. It was so early. And then she was just like, then my mom was just like, they probably killed the bull. They're gonna probably be selling it later on that day. Yeah, mm-hmm. at the market, and I was just like, oh my god.
Yeah, it's really, it's amazing. The amount of blood you find in the meat there is like totally different from the amount of blood you find here, because mm-hmm. here it almost looks washed out.
Yeah.
The meat, because it's been sitting there for so long.
Yeah. And over there, it's just, true. Mm-hmm. When I went to the butcher's, because we would go to the butcher's, because that's where you got your meat, it doesn't stink.
It doesn't stink
at all.
So does fish. It doesn't stink if it's fresh.
It doesn't stink if it's fresh. And in meat, it doesn't stink. Mm-hmm. It doesn't stink at all. It actually, it smells, how musky, I guess?
For me, I felt it smelled like metal because of the blood.
And it smells a bit like metal. But it's not a bad smell at all. It actually kind of made me hungry. when we were in my dad's town in Momostenango, we bought some meat for our grandmother who still eats. I saw her, but she's old. She's very old, but she can still eat meat. So we bought some meat, and there was this older woman, and I kid you not, like, she must have been at least 60. And she must have been at least 60, but she lifted up one of those, like, cow like hunks by herself onto a hook, and then I was when I saw her do that, I was immediately intimidated. I was just like, holy shit,
this woman can like,
I'm laughing because I feel like 60 is not that far from me.
That's why I said at least she was at least 60, at most maybe 75. So that's why I'm generalizing it. And she was small, she was pretty big. And she had her hair up in a bun and she had like a nice, like frilly smock covered in blood. And I was just like, oh my god, I am endeared and intimidated at the same time. Cause she was very sweet, she called everybody like the equivalent of deary, which is querida.
Yeah.
Or querido. But like, I saw her lift one of those, it was basically half a cow.
Yeah.
By herself.
Yeah.
Onto a metal hook. And she had a cleaver in her hand that she used to cut off pieces and stuff like that. And I was just like, oh my fucking god. I am so intimidated. But this is also very, very cute. Yeah. And and whatchamacallit, and she was like, we were looking for pieces, and she was just like, well, I don't have this, but my grandson sells like two stalls over, and we're just like, oh, that's pretty funny, the family business.
Yeah.
So it was pretty cool, but oh my god, the food was on another level. So yeah. I completely believe that the sieve made for this beer gives it that unique and more, I guess, complex taste as well.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I'm going to go ahead and rate that. I think I'm going to go full, only because it was really high on, I didn't expect it to be as amazing as it actually turned out to be, especially for a lager. Like I said, mm-hmm. For a lager, I think it's a full, only because it's so fresh, and the ingredients mm-hmm. that are in there really kind of pop out every now and then. Mm-hmm. And, I would definitely drink a 12-pack of this with my husband.
Okay, with your husband. That sounds better than for you just with 12 beers all by yourself. I mean, more power to you, but still. I will qualify it as well. For a lager, it's a rigid.
Nice. It's a rigid. Yeah, nice.
I mean, compared to other craft beers, I don't think my rating would be as high, but for a lager, I definitely think it's absolutely a rigid.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I was honestly surprised by how much I liked, because I was, honest to God, expecting Corona taste.
Yes, me too.
Me too.
I was 100% willing to believe that it was Corona taste, but it's not. So you know what? I'm gonna go with a full as well. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of undecided about it being a rigid.
Uh-huh.
Maybe if it was like an actual craft beer, mm-hmm. like Kristen said, if it was a craft beer, because it's not exactly craft beer. It is one kind of mass produced as well, but it is of a different quality. So when, you know what, compared to like Corona, Tecate, Modelo and all of those, I'm going to give it a rigid.
Mm-hmm.
But as a craft beer or something, it would at most maybe be a partial or a full.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you want if you don't want to get too buzzed, if you want something to drink that has flavor in it, gallo.
I think famosa. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Sitting in a cooler full of ice on a hot summer day, and you reach in there and you pick it out and you open it up, and that first drink is always the best. But yeah, and because it's only 5% and it's light, easily drinkable, I think definitely I would do that for the summer.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Should we agitate it? It feels like some of the stuff is on the bottom.
For this one, no.
No, okay,
it's already been agitated enough.
Okay.
The tamarindo, we might need to do one. But now we're going to do the quetzalteca.
Excellent.
And that's the one that I was talking about. Oh, is this a twist-off?
What?
It is!
Ooh!
I love quetzalteca. But anyways, the few times that I have drank actual quetzalteca, the actual spirits, it's sweet. And it also burns going down as well.
What the heck? Why are you scaring me?
What is Quetzalteca, though? I want to know what it is.
It's spirits. It's basically...
But what spirit?
The actual proper name for it is, I believe... Oh, God, where is it? It's aguardiente.
Oh, nice.
You know what it is?
Yeah, aguardiente, sugarcane, right?
Sugarcane. That's what I meant.
Yeah, they also have aguardiente in Colombia.
In Colombia.
Which I have tasted. It's pretty awesome.
Okay.
Pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. And this one comes in a glass beer.
It's very pretty.
Oh, it's very, very pretty.
And it smells so good.
It smells
Oh my amazing. God, it's so perfumada.
It smells 100% just like Jamaica from the taco truck.
Yeah, it does. It smells like my mom's Jamaica. That's what quetzalteca is. It generally tends to be sweet, like the quetzalteca, like the actual, because the actual bottle itself.
Dude, I could drink.
Usually comes this.
Yeah, it's very delicious.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then you mix it with what you want.
You mix it with what you want. But like as I was saying before, it's also used medicinally, and it's also used by actual Mayans in
When your mother poured it on you, she poured that on you.
She poured that
just
on me.
Just the alcohol.
Just the alcohol.
I was picturing in my mind, I was like, there were ants, and she poured this on you full of sugar.
No, not this. I was saying, these are new. These are actually, even my mom was taken by surprise when she saw them. She was just like, oh, they're branching out.
So yeah, so this is kind of like on the same par as like Mike's Hard Lemonade or something, because that is like lemonade mixed with liquor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty much. It's basically like that. And I just took a shit sip of this, and oh my fucking God, it's so good.
It's very good.
It's like juice.
Yes.
It's basically
juice.
You
don't taste any alcohol at all, actually.
I would get, oh my God, I would absolutely get shit-faced to this because I can't taste
and
alcohol at all.
And I love Jamaica.
And I love Jamaica, too. This colder, that's it. Yeah. I would utterly demolish
I would actually
it.
Drink it over ice because I would finish it before the ice had time to melt.
Exactly. I like this. I really do. I wonder if they have this here.
I was just going to ask you, have you seen it available here at all?
I have not seen it available
here. How about
here
just the alcohol itself?
The alcohol itself, yes.
Yes.
The
okay.
alcohol itself is, now that one is actually a bit harder to find.
Mm.
The way we find it is, there's stores all over LA that sell Guatemalan stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's where you can find them. Basically, look for a local store that sells imported goods, and they usually have that.
Okay.
And in Los Angeles, it's pretty easy to find, and I'm pretty sure that you can probably order it online as well.
Mm.
They might even have that, but I have not actually seen these here in the States at all. They might be available, but I just don't know.
Yeah.
Don't know where, don't know how. And when I took my second sip, I can taste a bite. I can taste a bite. But then it's masked by the Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
And
imagine though, if you just, you find a bottle of the Quetzalteca by itself and you have fresh Jamaica, oh my gosh.
Oh, wow. My God.
I would just pour that entire bottle into the Jamaica.
Were there any flavors that you didn't bring back that they had as well?
I only saw tamarindo and Jamaica.
Tamarindo.
Because those are the popular ones, I guess you could say. But, oh my God, this is so
good. This is really good.
I'm almost finished with this.
I know. Let's go ahead and rate this one. I feel like this is gonna sneak up on you and get you into trouble. So I'm gonna go full on this one. This is Sarah, and I'm reporting this as a full only because I feel that it's very dangerous. I feel like if you give me this, like, okay, let's say I'm talking to a guy at a club, right? And he's like, let me get you a drink. He gets me this, and then I'm like, this is pretty good. And then he'll keep getting me that. Oh, yeah. I'll be into trouble at the end of the night. It'd be one of those sneakers.
So this is Kristen. I also am rating it a full only because I know what yummy, nice, fresh Jamaica tastes like.
Mm-hmm.
Jen's dad's Jamaica that he made for the Days of the Dead event we had at Heidi Ho was amazing. So it tastes good and I like it, but because it's like processed Jamaica flavor and not fresh flavor, I will give it a full. But I think this to me is like backyard, like house party drink.
Yeah. Classy, we are not doing this.
No.
I was actually looking for breweries, if there any existed in there, and I'm not even gonna lie, like, I think they do exist in the capital, but since basically no one has a website, I cannot find them. I could not find them.
Interesting.
But also, if you want to get technical, people brew beer
in their homes
over there.
Yeah.
And they taste moonshine. They have moonshine and they are unafraid to drink it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, they are not afraid. You want to, like, I very firmly believe that they just have freaking plastic tubs where they mix whatever it is that they need to do to make beer and just drink from that. And I'm just all like, oh my God. When my dad told me a few stories, he said that that's what him and his friends did for a while.
No way.
Yeah, he said, and I quote, that it was the worst tasting beer that he had ever had, but oh my God, did he get fucked up quick.
Oh yeah. Those are the best. There's a alcoholic beverage in Nicaragua called El Caballito, which translates to the pony.
Uh-huh. The pony, oh my God.
and you get a small bottle for like a dollar. And you drink that, and you're straight for the rest of the night. You're just like, I'm good. And it's good. Like if you want to get drunk and just kind of like not buy beer after beer after beer, mm-hmm. It's pretty perfect.
Drink I promise you that we are going to talk about comics at some point.
But I did bring three beers basically. I'm wanting to call this a beer simply because it is carbonated. You very slightly, I can taste the carbonation. Yeah.
All right, we're trying the tamarindo, right?
Yeah, I'm letting the Jamaica settle in my stomach right now. Because I took a big swig at the end, and it's like so, I feel like heat just rising from the pit of my stomach up to like the top of my head.
You know what?
Yeah. And my foot is not hurting me. I told the girls that I didn't take my pain meds today specifically because I knew I was coming to here and we drink beer and we do ratings and stuff. and so I was experiencing some discomfort, not really pain, but discomfort, but that's all gone now.
I'm reading the front right now. It says bebida alcohólica a base de aguardiente. So it is Quetzalteca. It is aguardiente mixed in with that. So that bite that I felt, like this is the equivalent of concentrated tequila that's been mixed in with this. So if you're gonna feel it.
But without that tequila burn, I think.
Tequila burn, yeah. Well, because it's only 6% ABV, so they've measured out so that it's only 6%. But I can definitely feel that. That warm feeling that you can only get from spirits. It's there. Mm-hmm. It's there.
Oh my gosh.
How is that?
It's good.
The tamarindo one?
It's really good.
I'm willing to believe that this tamarindo one is actually, because I saw the like fleshy part underneath.
Yes, uh-huh.
And that it settled. This is 100% tamarindo.
Yes. Dude, my aunt used to make tamarindo dulces at home in Mexico.
Oh, my God.
And this tastes just like that.
Oh, my God.
I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. I'm just like, homemade tamarindo. I just got a flashback.
You just got a flashback.
Wait, how much are these in whatever?
Quetzal.
Yeah.
This one.
The gallo.
The gallo, it was 8.5 quetzales. A little over a dollar.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, because the quetzal, $1 translates to about 7.3 quetzales.
Yeah.
This one is exactly a dollar.
Okay.
These two are exactly a dollar.
So,
I feel like four of these would fuck me up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. For the sweet ones?
Yeah.
They would definitely fuck me up because they're actually using... This is basically a cocktail.
Mm-hmm.
This
is
basically a cocktail or a spritzer. It's four of these and I will be fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
I think...
And it tastes like candy.
Yeah, over ice it and does. Maybe a little garnish like... I think it would send it over. I think it'd be so great.
The tamarindo is good.
Oh, my God.
I actually thought I was going to like the Jamaica better.
Me
and
too.
Although I liked it, this is better.
Yeah. It just tastes more fresh for me.
It tastes...
The tamarindo taste is more closely
authentic.
To what... more authentic than what the Jamaica was.
Oh, yeah. Well, than what the Jamaica was. Yeah, I definitely 100% believe that because tamarindo itself, I make tamarindo in the summers.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Oh,
wow. We buy tamarindo at El Super and we make agua from that.
Oh, okay.
Every summer that's what we do. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I know how real tamarindo is.
Yeah.
I make it.
Yeah.
This is I am willing 100% believe that someone went and like smashed up tamarindo themselves.
Yeah, because you have that little pulp at the
bottom. Yeah, and like Jen was saying, with the Jamaica we didn't have to do this, but with the tamarindo we had to shake the bottle because it was separated. There was a lot of like fleshy bits on the bottom of the bottle.
In the bottom of the bottle, yeah.
And fleshy bits. it's the band coming to LA next week.
And you don't get that if they just threw that in afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
That's not how tamarindo, you have to squeeze it with your hands or some other manner to get it to be like this.
Mm-hmm.
This will definitely fuck me up.
I really like this. I really, really do.
Yes, me too.
This is quite a treat. Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
In addition to all the awesome pictures and now Guatemalan beer and Guatemalan yummies, I can't wait for you to go back.
I'm actually going to go back in October for Dia de los Muertos.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I'm going to be living up the goth lifestyle as much as I can.
Oh, wow.
Well, we're going to be going for Dia de los Muertos to celebrate basically
Grandpa.
My grandfather
that
has passed away for.
That's awesome, though.
So,
I can't wait to see your pictures.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see the pictures of the cemetery.
Yeah.
If the cemetery is that brightly decorated with colors in just a normal day, like, what their Dia de los Muertos, like, dressing up would be.
You guys have no idea. Like, I was tempted to stay another week because we just missed Semana Santa. I mean, right now it's Semana Santa here in the States, but over there, the day that we left... It was tomorrow that they, the day after that they would kick off Semana Santa preparations.
Mm.
They were already actually going underway. I went to Mass over there because it was a Sunday and my mom was just like, let's go to Mass.
And you didn't burst into flame?
I know. I was just like, oh my God. Like, you want to talk, this is just me, but like, that place, like, Guatemala itself feels old.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It
yeah.
feels old, and I am 100% willing to believe that the old gods are still alive there. Like, it's just like...
that's where they reside.
That's where they... That's
number home.
That's their home. Because, I'm technically... I am religious.
Mm-hmm.
I do... I, as much as I'm a very bad Catholic, I'm still kind of marginally a Catholic, and I still believe in God and everything, but over there, I am 100% 100% wanting to believe that magic exists there. Mm-hmm. Like it's there. Don't fuck with it. Don't, you know, don't do anything and all that stuff. Actually, when we were at the cemetery, and I posted a picture of this, there were two spots in the cemetery that absolutely stood out from the rest of the cemetery because they looked burned. They looked like they had been caught on fire. It was black. Like, the building itself was, like, it looked like it had burned down. And when we were passing it by, there had been some people performing something. They were doing something. And my mom said, like, it's just coming over there to say hello to strangers and just be, like, go, like, say, hola, buenos dias, like, as you're passing by, or go, or say, like... There's a, in dialecto, it's a specific word, but I don't know what it is, but you respond with A, basically acknowledging that you're there and that they're there. It's common courtesy. And we were passing by some people who were doing something, and I don't know what it is that they were doing. But once we passed, my mom was just like, they're doing black magic.
Mm.
Or, like, she said, well, not exactly black magic. It could be gray magic. It could be, like, white magic. And I'm just roughly translating it.
I didn't even know there's such a thing as gray magic.
Yeah. It could be good or it could be bad.
Mm.
That's basically what gray magic is.
And where does Santeria fall on that?
White magic.
Okay.
Basically, Santeria is white magic. Although it could take a turn to dark magic as well, black magic.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me, she's like, that's what they're doing. And they're probably doing white magic because they're doing it during the day.
Oh.
If you're doing it at night, it is 95% of the chance of black magic. Mm. But we passed this place and my mom told me, like, that's where they do black magic. Don't take photos. They will curse you. And I was just like, you know what?
I don't want to get cursed.
No. I didn't want to get cursed. So I was just like, you know what? I'm not going to take pictures. I did take a picture of one of the buildings, but that's because nobody was there. And as I said before, the building looks burned. It looks like it had been burned down. And it was just, because everything else is pastel colors. It's bright, it's vivid, and then there's just this
darkness.
This dark, like,
smokiness.
Room.
Yeah, when she showed me the picture, I was like, it looks like it's burned. She's like, it is.
It looks like, I think it was burned down.
Uh-huh.
And that's where they perform a lot of the old Mayan rituals and a lot of, like, black magic, white magic, stuff like that. And my mom 100% believes that it works. And I'm just, I'm still skeptical. I'm just like, but I prefer to be cautious.
Yeah.
It's just habit, I guess. And also, like, I don't want to be rude.
Most definitely.
Uh-huh.
Are we ready to rate the tamarindo?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the tamarindo 100% gets a rigid from me.
Yeah, me too.
Absolutely. The fresh factor and the little pulp at the bottom, it just really sends it to a new level.
It literally tastes like tamarindo candy.
And
I am very, very warm now.
And not
me
only
too.
That, it's homemade tamarindo candy. So I'm very excited about that one.
This is definitely a rigid, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, while we let this sink in. Jen, you have some chisme for us?
I do. Okay, so at WonderCon, I went to a spotlight of Mariko Tamaki, and she is the creator of This One Summer, which is a banned book. It is a banned graphic novel that's a bit autobiographical by her, and it's really good because it touches upon about, like, bullying and, like, being lesbian, being LGBTQ as a kid, and a lot of, like, dark subjects and stuff like that. But so I can guess, but it won a children's literature award.
What?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Uh-huh, because
yes.
And it's a little children, but, like, tween age.
Yeah.
Like, stuff that area right now. So it made it it was a banned book, and she's also known for doing a bit of other stuff, but she's also going to be the writer for
X-23. Ooh!
Yeah. And so, this is already publicly announced, but, I was there. She had been talking with Cinna Grace, who is, who was moderating the panel, and they're both so funny.
I love Cinna.
It's such a great banter.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's Cinna, used to work for Heidi Ho as a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
That is so cool. Mm-hmm.
So we know Cinna. Is it Cinna or Cinna?
I don't know. I say Cinna, but I don't know what the correct pronunciation is.
I say Cinna. And he was talking about, and she let it slip that she's also doing something else for Marvel. Something called Claws. then, and she said that, well, I'm technically not supposed to talk about it, but it is a horror anthology set for Marvel that would feature, she said, uncryptically, people with awesome claws.
Mm-hmm.
Wolverine,
mm-hmm.
X-23. Hellcat.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. Nice. So it's an anthology series.
What's the little X-23?
Honey Badger.
Honey Badger, yes!
Honey Badger. So it might feature her as well, but it's basically, it's super interesting, and I'm excited to hear about it. And nothing official has been announced for it, which is why she was just all like, oops. Well, I'm going to get in a little bit into detail, but not too much.
Yeah.
So look out for that. I don't know when it's going to be coming out, but Charles Claus. And I'm always down for any horror anthology set, especially for something as big as Marvel, because they used to have a horror thing, from Vampire Tales to Werewolf by Midnight, and the Monster Called Frankenstein. And some of them were cheesy, but some of them were pretty good as well. The Tomb of Dracula is one of my favorite. And, it was old school ones. Werewolf by Midnight is pretty good too, though. And so, to see them kind of bringing that back a little bit, I'm happy, because I really like that. I actually, at Heidi Ho yesterday, I bought, issue number one of Sinister House of Secret Love by DC. And it's just like, oh my god, it was so trashy. I loved it. I loved it! It was like the issue number one was so trashy. It's like those trashy gothic romance tales that they used to do, and I wish they would do again.
Me too.
Which we kind of saw in Young Monsters in Love.
Uh-huh.
I
loved that so much.
I loved it so much too. And so I wish they would bring that back, but we never know. Sigh.
That's really interesting news.
But she's going to be doing that. My other piece of chisme is that Dan Slott and Sarah Pichelli are bringing back the Fantastic Four.
Yep. What?
Yep. And Kristen actually clued me this. Kristen actually mentioned this, and tagged me in the mm-hmm. article, and I read it. And C.B. Cebulski, or whatever, the new editor-in-chief, has announced that they are bringing back an ongoing series for the Fantastic Four. The Marvel 2-in-1 is still going to be ongoing in conjunction with the Fantastic Four, but there is going to be an ongoing title for the Fantastic Four. And it's going to be written by Dan Slott and drawn by Sarah Pichelli, who is best known for helping co-create Miles Morales.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just an amazing artist. She has a very unique artistic style that I really, really like. And she does a really good job of drawing kids and teenagers and making them look like actual young like children. So she's pretty good. And I'm excited about that. She's very popular. She's like up there with like Fiona Staples and stuff like that as a woman, as a creators and like artists in hired by Marvel.
Mm.
And so she's going to be drawing the Fantastic Four, and it will be coming out sometime in August.
Cool. So still a ways away.
Still a ways away. But it will be here.
Yes,
sometime.
People have been clamoring for a Fantastic Four book for a very long time.
A very long time. And it was rumored that the reason that they were into doing anything was because they didn't have the rights to the Fantastic Four. So Marvel kind of adopted this theory of, we can't have it, nobody can, and they were willing to kill the Fantastic Four.
Wow, fatality.
Fatality. So if we don't have the rights for it, we're not going to create any hype or, like, keep fans going on for anything Fantastic Four. But now that they for sure have the rights back from, what was it, Fox?
Is it Fox?
No, it wasn't Fox. I don't know. Universal.
I don't remember.
Is it Universal?
I don't know.
But I forget who the deal was. I forget. But they have the rights back to the Fantastic Four. They're bringing them back. So
nice.
Don't know if it was Marvel. Don't know if it was Disney who was just like kill off the Fantastic Four kind of thing. They weren't technically killed off. They were just living off outside of continuity.
You see,
and fixing the multiverse.
You see the Thing pop up in Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur, mm-hmm. Here and there.
here and there.
Yeah.
And like I said, the Marvel 2-in-1 comics.
Human Torch and the Thing.
Human Torch and the Thing. And they were actually pretty good. And I know that we've been doing well with them because people wanted Fantastic Four stuff. And let's be real, Johnny Storm and the Thing are the most popular ones.
What are we going to do with Reed Richards when he comes back? Is he going to be in anger management classes? I mean, because Reed Richards, it's 2018. It's a whole new, political and social climate. And so things that comics used to get away with back in the day is not necessarily okay to write about in that way. So I think definitely I'm interested to see what his Marvel makeover is going to be.
Dan Slott's pretty cool, so, I mean, they might not let him change a lot. I mean, Reed does have a reputation of being a dick.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like Reed Richards, if it isn't obvious.
Yeah. Well, for me, I don't remember what it was that we read, or what I read, but this, like, yes, he was so douchey to his wife. And not even the storyline where
it was
he,
Civil War for the book club.
Okay, not even the storyline where he actually struck her, but just like in everyday conversation and just the relationship between them, he was so just disrespectful and so, yeah, he was a dick, he was douchey. I did not like him at all.
Mm-hmm. And so he has a reputation of that, so like I guess writing or whatever. But I literally like three of the Fantastic Four, and one of them isn't Reed Richards.
Yeah.
Anyways, but that's coming back. I am excited for that. I know there's a lot of fans. I know there's a lot of fans of the Fantastic Four, and personally, I do kind of like them. I do like the Frank and Valerie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Valerie Richards, who are their kids. But it's I want to see what new stories that they have. What's going to be going on? What's the deal? Is Reed Richards going to fucking get his fucking shit together? Who knows? We never know. Might be an impossibility. But my third piece of chisme, and some of you may have already heard, but Gina Rodriguez is set to play Carmen Sandiego in a Netflix live action film.
Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
I
used to play that in computer lab in school, in elementary school.
I used to watch it on PBS all the time.
I think I watched some of the cartoon stuff, but I mostly played it, and I failed. I always failed. Played it in like computer lab in like fifth grade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So but it was cool. It was pretty cool.
It is.
Gina is Jane the Virgin, right?
Yeah, Jane the Virgin.
I love her. Mm-hmm. I loved her as a, I was going to say Biggie Smalls, but no, that's not a Foxy. Anyway, it was a movie with that lady who died in a plane crash who was big in the ranchero world. I know you guys listening are probably like, like
screaming at you.
Your Latino card has been revoked. Foxy Brown, I believe it was.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was great. She was like a rapper, freestyle rapper.
Oh, yes. And I actually saw her go up against somebody.
Yes.
I shared it on Facebook, and she was so good.
She was such an angry character and, you know, misunderstood and wore, like, the hoodie with the hood over her head and stuff like that, you know, and rapped. And when I found out she was Gina, because I didn't put two and two together, mm-hmm. when I found out she was Gina Virgin, I'm like, wow, girl, you're so talented. I did not put that together at all. She's just, it was amazing. I was like, I believed it. I believed the whole thing.
Yeah, I think she would make a great Carmen Sandiego. Yeah. And I know Carmen Sandiego because there had been a cartoon series
mm-hmm.
that I used to watch on, what was it? It was an old channel, and I think they did it in Spanish, but I remember those, and I remember playing, like, a How to Learn game in elementary school mm-hmm. of Carmen Sandiego, so I'm super excited for this, and it's set to be released sometime next year, in 2019, in conjunction with a new set of books.
Oh, wow.
That they're doing for Carmen Sandiego.
Oh, okay.
And so it is most likely going to be a kid thing. Made for children.
Okay.
Even though it's Netflix, but because the owner of the rights to Carmen Sandiego, because Netflix had to get a deal for this, or they had basically the company that owns Carmen Sandiego is a children's learning.
Okay.
Thing.
Yeah.
So I don't think they're gonna do anything too edgy with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I still can't wait to see that.
Is it gonna be a little bit like Dora the Explorer? Where
no, I don't think Dora the Explorer levels, because it's still gonna be live action.
Okay, good.
I don't think it's gonna be too PG. It might be at most maybe PG-13-ish.
Okay.
But basically, it's not gonna be something rated R. It's not gonna be 13 Reasons Why or Stranger Things.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Got it. I like how you had to explain that to me. Nice. Mm-hmm. Do you have any more chisme, Jen?
That was a lot of chisme.
That was 3 bits. Well, I have other chisme, but it's more personal. My little sister has a boyfriend. I'm actually eager to talk about this, is that the only reason we found out, well, my littlest brother knew. I don't know how he knew, because I'm getting the feeling that that he somehow broke into my sister's phone or something, or that he was using her phone and there was a text message that he read that he wasn't supposed to, and that's how he found out. But my other brother, my Catholic twin brother, he caught them on the bus.
Oh.
Oh my god, when he told me, I burst out laughing, because it was the worst case scenario for my little sister. Like, and I could, like, when he told me, I could envision it happening, because they were both on the 51. They were both waiting for the 51, and he was looking, and then he looked, and he saw them, and she was cuddling with her boyfriend,
uh-huh.
And he was just like, and then he was just like, he literally shouted out, like, Shayla. And then she turned, and the look on her face,
uh-huh.
When he described it, I could fucking see it. I could see it, and I was just like, oh my god, this is the most funniest shit to ever happen. It might have been the worst fucking day for her, but oh my god, it was the funniest. Oh god, when she came home that day, I fucking burst out laughing. And like, I didn't know. To be frank, I'm kind of happy that she has a boyfriend and she's like going out and dating, because Lord knows I wanted to do that in high school, but I didn't, so I'm not gonna give her shit for it.
Yeah.
But it was so funny. Anyways, that's the last bit of cheese, man. That's our family cheese, man.
Well, on my radar, this is Sarah. We're going to jump right into it. On my radar is Professor Marston and the Wonder Woman is on Hulu, everybody.
Oh,
so
Hulu.
Now you can watch it and enjoy the antics that led to Wonder Woman, the comic book.
I wanted to go to the movie theater to see that, and I didn't have time, and I missed it. So, mm-hmm. It's on Netflix or Hulu?
Hulu.
Okay.
Hulu. Yeah.
And not a lot of movie theaters were playing it. Mm-hmm. Mostly, like, Landmark
and
stuff like
a
that.
A lot of indie places.
Well, I thoroughly enjoy it, and I highly recommend it. Not for the kids.
Yeah.
Definitely not for the kids.
But definitely for the adults.
Yeah.
My husband walked by while I was watching, and he's like, "What are you watching?" And I'm like, "We'll find out later." So I highly recommend that one. I'm very excited. It was really well. And then there's always the pictures and the little bio at the end of the movie. Love that part too. It was really cool. Mm-hmm. So that's on my radar.
Well, just a little on my radar, this is Kristen, that I wanted to mention. It's not a comic, it's nothing comic related, but it's definitely Latino related, and I really just wanted to put out there that if you are not watching One Day at a Time on Netflix, you need to be watching One Day at a Time on Netflix. It's so amazing. It's so good. Those of you who are old enough to remember One Day at a Time in the 80s, it was a story of a single mom who was raising her two daughters, and Schneider, the building superintendent, would always come and bother her at her house and always be there being in her family business and stuff. Well, Netflix redid the sitcom around a Cuban family, and it just works so well. Rita Moreno is the matriarch, grandmother of the family, and it's a single mom, who's living with her mother and her two children, and the Latino culture, the Cuban culture that is portrayed in the sitcom is just so well done, and there's parts of dialogue that are just all in Spanish, and it works so well, and it doesn't seem weird or off or forced. Whenever they eat meals, they're always eating something cultural. There's rice, there's beans, there's little empanadas. There's in the pantry, in the kitchen scenes, you can see all the Goya cans in the pantry. Nice. I mean, it's just, I can't recommend it enough. Because of my leg, I haven't been at work very much, and so I've had a lot of time to binge, and I binged the first two seasons, and they just this week were green-lighted to do a season three.
And that's one of the things I'm just, like, really shocked that it has two seasons under its belt, and I just found out about it.
Yeah.
Like, I wish that my, it's on Netflix, right?
Yes, Netflix.
I wish that my Netflix thing would have said, things we recommend for you.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I didn't see that under the recommendation, so now I'm very excited to actually mm-hmm. watch this.
Yes.
And that's one of the things I've had, not an issue with, but something that I actually wanted to see more of is, challenge, you know, your audience. Don't, you know, sugarcoat it. Like Kristen was saying, they sometimes go off and speak in Spanish and don't do the translation,
mm-hmm.
The English translation. They just kind of say it the way it's supposed to be said in Spanish.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm assuming with subtitles?
No.
Or no subtitles?
No subtitles.
Mm-mm. And I think that's really great. I think even if they put subtitles, I think it would be cool because that way, you know, you're not, I mean, you're assuming that your audience can read and, you know, or is going to try to find out what that means with, you know, their Spanish speaking friend or whatnot. So mm-hmm. I think that's great. I'm loving the idea.
Yeah, highly recommend it. Definitely, if you get a chance, watch it and let me know what you think because I can't recommend it enough. And Rita Moreno is just, she's an icon in...
She's so prolific.
Yeah, an icon in the Latino actress world. Mm-hmm. She played Maria in... West Side Story. Mm-hmm. So, and it's funny because if you know that and you're familiar with
West Side Story,
they put little, like, Easter eggs in about yeah. it. It's really funny. It's
That's
really good.
So cool.
Yeah. That and there's good. Actually, if you're a fan of the original One Day at a Time, there's Easter eggs. Actually, actors from the original have done, oh, they I have love, roles in
I
this.
I love when they do that. Yeah. It's an homage.
Yeah.
Which I love homages.
Yes.
Those are great. Yeah.
The other thing that's on my radar is this beer.
We're going to be drinking a lot of beer
today. Actually, this beer was a gift from my husband who went to Nicaragua just recently.
Oh, and Nicaraguan beer.
Yes, this is a Nicaraguan craft beer. It's a brewing company. It's called Cadejo. Cadejo is kind of a mythical character in, I guess, historically in Nicaragua.
Mm.
So that, and That's it's cool. called La Leyenda Hecha Cerveza is their slogan. This is a red ale. It's 5.3% alcohol per volume, and it says cerveza artesanal, mm-hmm. sin adjuntos, sin azúcar, sin químicos, o 100% natural, 100% natural, without corn and without rice. Which I don't know what that means, but I'm supposing it's a thing.
So when are they?
Well,
they
the beer that we just drank was made from corn.
Yeah,
yeah. And but it's just
usually it's like wheat and
I believe so.
Yeah,
it's wheat or like I guess another substitute that they use is rice.
Con it says hecha con pasión, made with passion. With passion. It's Central America's craft beer established 2012. So it's a recent
Barely
thing.
Know, yeah.
It's a recent thing. It's not 1980. It's 1896 old.
Right, exactly. You know, I guess they're jumping on the heels of craft brews
yeah.
being mm-hmm. Very popular. So they're using their natural resources that they have in the country to make craft beer, which is interesting. And they're at cervezacadejo.com. They're on Twitter, on Facebook, and on Instagram.
Oh, they actually have social media.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay. It says, Roja como los ojos del mismo Cadejo. Dulce, especiada y con amargor que te hará sudar los colmillos. Damn, all right, I'm scared of you. So anyway, this is a red ale, so enjoy.
I feel like I've drank more today in this last half hour than I have since I broke my leg, for sure. I haven't drank any alcohol since, because I've been on medication constantly, so, and all of it says don't drink.
this is going to be the fourth type of beer we drink.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Ooh.
I am pleasantly surprised because I had another craft beer from Nicaragua that he brought for me that I tried, and I was really disappointed.
Oh, really?
So I am super happy that this one is really flavorful.
Yeah.
Yes.
It tastes like coffee.
Coffee, yes. Coffee,
which is really interesting for a red ale.
Or maybe yes,
they have a lot of... Maybe, because they have a lot of coffee cafetales in Nicaragua. I mean,
I've been.
So they have a lot of coffee cosechas all around the country of Nicaragua. I went to one that actually was a self-sufficient, totally eco-friendly one called Selva Negra, which was beautiful. Mm-hmm. And so they have all of those all in the high parts of Nicaragua. So Frank was like, yeah, you always refer to Selva Negra. That's not the only one. I'm like, that's the only one I've been to. Okay. So, but yes, I'm going to go ahead and rate it just to move along with time. But
it's a 5.3 ABV. What is it? They don't really like putting a lot of alcohol content. I'm going to say that there's some religious rules.
No, it's just the type of beer that it is. Red ales and lagers, they're generally just the way that they're made and fermenting and stuff like that. Just to get that particular type of beer, it makes it a lower alcohol
level.
All
right. Got it.
So I'm really loving the chocolate cacao. And I know that there's coffee in this.
It tastes like coffee.
And there's a nice bitter aftertaste that I really enjoy. So I'm going to give this, I'm going to go full on this one just because, the other beer that was, supposedly craft brew was so bland. This one just really was far more superior.
Oh, yeah, that one was craft too?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
This was far superior to that one. And I gave more love to that one because I drank it by myself, so I actually posted a lot of pictures on social media, tagging them. But this one is really, I'm really loving this one. I think if I go back, I would definitely seek this one out. Cadejo.
This is Kristen. I actually think I will go with a full as well. I'm not generally a fan of red ales, because I find them to be kind of sweet, and I don't particularly like sweet beers. This one, like you guys are saying, you can taste the cacao, or that's the flavor that it calls up for you. Same with me, and I'm not a coffee fan either, and that's what it brings up for me. But, I'm actually pleasantly surprised. It is a little sweet, and like I said, that's not something that I prefer, but this is very flavorful.
Yes, exactly. What do you think, Jen?
I am going to go with a partial on this one. And it's not that I don't like it. It's that maybe because of the other ones that I just drank.
Yeah. The sweetness kind of threw everything off, I think.
Yeah. So for me, all I'm getting is coffee. And I just, maybe if it was a bit sweeter, I would like it more. And as you guys know me, I really like sweet things.
I know, which is funny because I'm like, it's too sweet.
It's not sweet. Yeah, I'm just like, when you said, for me, it's not, I the opposite, really. It's not sweet enough.
I mean, compared to these mixed drinks, which like putting a thing of sugar in your mouth.
Yes.
Yeah, but I mean, this is a beer. So like
this is a proper beer.
It's sweet.
Yeah, and maybe it's because, yeah, we did drink those that are basically concentrated sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Which is my favorite.
But it's interesting because I usually don't, I'm not used to the carbonation with the kind of a coffee, because usually coffees comes in stout, so I usually
don't get that.
Yeah. I usually don't get that carbonation, but this one does have carbonation, so it's like a little surprise. So I like it. Like I said, this one's far better than the other one I had, for sure.
Maybe if I drank it without having drank the others, I would have given it a full. But for right now, it's a partial for me. Still going to drink it.
Excellent. Well, that was our rating for our alcoholic beverages and our beers. Mm-hmm. I hope you enjoyed that. And now, guys, what are we going to review?
We are reviewing La Boriqueña.
Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun,
dun. We have been actually after this book for quite some time. Mm-hmm. It first came
on our radar.
On our radar. To me, mm-hmm. One of the cover artists was at our free comic book day last year. Mm-hmm. What was his name?
All I remember is that you said that he's Rosario Dawson.
Yes, he's Rosario Dawson's uncle. But
forever
I don't
to be known as such.
Yeah, I remember his name now. Sorry. I met him for the first time I spoke to him at our Comic-Con, but I met him, like, actually formally at Stan Lee's L.A. Comic-Con this last year. His name is escaping me, but he was a cover artist for La Borinqueña, and he had one of the prints on his display at the Heidi Ho Comic-Con. And so I asked him about it, and he was telling me about it. I was like, oh, that sounds really interesting. I was like, yeah, we should, and we were doing, you know, that was our very first presentation of Comadres y Comics, where we were there telling people about the podcast and handing out conchas and business cards, and so I was like, oh, you know, we're doing a podcast and I'll have to keep this on my radar to do it. And then we just never, I think we looked for it, and then it was just we never saw it.
I don't think the book was out. I think individual issues were.
Oh,
but the book
okay, that makes sense.
Out.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And even then, the book we got is the stapled one, so it's not like a what is it called, the
bound
mm-hmm. one. So I think it wasn't available in book format,
okay.
Which we wanted to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what did you guys think about this?
I really liked it a lot, actually. I didn't know where it was going or what to expect, but I really enjoyed the storyline. There was a lot of, like, earthy, like, thematic, mythos, like, stuff. Like, also, like, when she gets her powers from, like, this cosmic, like,
it's the star.
Stone or yeah, star. Or
the star that represents the, that is representative
on the flag.
On the flag.
Yes.
On the Puerto Rican flag.
Uh-huh.
So I also loved it. This is Sarah. I loved the whole, at the beginning you kind of open up with her saving sea turtles. Cause, so at first I get this feeling of like Captain Planet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Which I love Captain Planet. I don't care what anybody said.
That's what I was saying. It's like there was really a lot of like,
earthy love. Wait,
not, yeah, earthy love. There's like a technical term.
Earthy love.
What's it called? Not preservationist. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but I've had too much.
We've had too much to drink.
Too much to drink. But yes, I really enjoyed that. How not just that it was brought up, but that it was a real believable part of the story, the intertwined into her origin. Because this is her origin story.
Absolutely, yes. It's Marisol is La Borinqueña, and she studies environmental studies in Brooklyn, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's actually, her parents are from Puerto Rico, but she herself kind of grew up in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
So she's going to school, and she decides to go back to Puerto Rico to do some studies in the caves and do some studies on the geology, the rocks, and so forth. So that's actually her origin story. And when the actual story opens up, she's saving the turtles, which, like I said, you get a lot of like kind of Captain Planet, like really responsible about the environment.
Yes.
And so forth.
Yes.
And then she goes into kind of like a I wouldn't call it, was it flashback? Kind of a time warp where she actually starts talking about her origin story.
Yeah.
Her mom's a doctor. I forgot what her dad is, though.
Oh, I don't remember either. Jen, do you remember what her dad was?
Her dad is... He's not Puerto Rican?
No, I mean for a job. Her mom's a doctor. Do
her
you
mom's
remember
a doctor. He didn't say what his dad was.
No, I don't remember.
Maybe that'll be something.
Maybe
that
he's
we...
a house dad?
That would be cool.
I want to say that he's a house dad because she's definitely a doctor. I don't know about her dad.
Yeah, and she's kind of a regular kid. I mean, she has asthma, and they kind of over-worry about her
yes,
a little bit.
Yeah.
Which is natural for Latino parents. Mm-hmm. You know, her riding her bike around town, they're like, are you okay? Like,
are you going to be all right?
Are you going to be all right?
Do you have all your meds?
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And they made a reference on that when she was traveling out to Puerto Rico, like, mm-hmm. do you have all your meds? Mm-hmm. And so I also noticed that... she was going to stay with her grandparents, but right before she left, her mom gave her this pin from the original fabric from the...
Used to make the Puerto Rican flag.
Used to make the Puerto Rican flag. And I was like, what? That is so cool.
That's super cool.
And I'm like, I wouldn't take this to Puerto Rico because I don't want it to get lost. You know, I'm going to be in the mud, and you know, mm-hmm. but... well, that has a great significance towards the, you know, in the development of this character in the comic book. Mm-hmm. So
I don't think she wears it all the time. I think they gave it to her and she took it, but she probably kept it safe.
Oh no, yeah. But, I mean, I think she wore it just in this specific time, which was cool.
So the Labor in Kenya is written by Edgardo Miranda Rodriguez. And I actually really thought that it was interesting when asked where he got the idea for this character. He says that he is writing... it says, the comic book that I'm writing with my team is not going to solve the debt crisis in Puerto Rico. She's a symbol of patriotism at a time when Puerto Ricans need to be reminded of their own superpowers. I thought that was really interesting. He says, she is a patriotic symbol of hope for Puerto Rico and Puerto Ricans. We don't need to look outside of us for the power. We have it inside. If we come together, we will win.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. I love the traction this comic book is getting. Mm-hmm. And it's so positively written. I really feel... super happy when I'm reading this book. I mean, there's so much positivity. Even when she meets this one girl who obviously is the most popular pretty girl in...
She's la güera.
La güera.
Yeah, uh-huh. And she's obviously popular and mm-hmm. beautiful and whatnot, and she's kind of shady towards her.
A little bit.
In the beginning,
But then, when she said what she said,
I was like, oh, hell. I thought the same thing, and then a couple panels later, they're dancing. I'm like, hold on, what happened here?
So it looks like, okay, I love to dance. So sometimes you're dancing, right, and you're, mm-hmm. like, feeling yourself, and then somebody... it comes right next to you, and they start kind of moving a little bit, kind of, you know, out maneuvering you, sort of. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, oh, no, I can do more. So then you start, so it's kind of like a dance battle, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But the cool part was, it didn't come to blows. They actually bonded from that dance mm-hmm. battle. Uh-huh. And I thought that was amazing. She's like, you're all right, girl. Mm-hmm. You're all right.
Yeah.
And then she's like... yeah, you know, you're okay, too. So it was, like, cool.
And it kind of made sense. Later when I thought about it, I was just, like, and I was just thinking about it. And I guess it's also a matter of what is considered, I guess, not political correct, but what's considered appropriate. Because when I was in Guatemala... some of the shit the people said, I was just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
About me, but, like, about, like, others, about women, about men. And I was just like, holy crap. And, like, about, like, other stuff, like, how now, like, I would never in my life call someone La Negra.
Yeah.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Over there. Oh my God, it's so prominent.
When
it's,
my mm-hmm. best friend and I took a cruise to Baja, California. Not Baja. It's
Ensenada?
Cabo, San Lucas, Puerto Vallarta, and a third one. It wasn't Ensenada. Mazatlan, yeah. So anyway, we were in our 20s when we went, and it's just culturally, terms of endearment are different there.
Oh my god, yes.
And every freaking where we went, gordita! Gordita!
Like, and they don't mean it maliciously.
No, they don't.
They don't mean it.
No, like, they don't. But man, we did not buy things for nothing. Yeah.
They're like, gordita, morena, negrita.
Yeah.
When my little sister was there, she has almond-shaped eyes more so than all of us. So they called her Chinita. China, Chinita. Uh-huh. And they're like, ¿sabes? They're like, bien Chinita. And my little sister was just like, I'm not Chinese.
Yeah.
But because, like, they're like Chinita, or like, to them, anybody Asian is Chino.
Yes. My grandmother, yeah. I think I was fully into college before I realized that there was more than one type of Asian.
And yeah, like, to them, and it's funny because, like, there is in speaking of Boricueña, and like her friend, her best friend, who's Chinese and Dominican Republic,
because
she's that's why she's she can speak Spanish. There's a very strong Asian community in a lot of Central America. Brazil has the second highest population of Japanese people out of Japan itself.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
There's
a
very, very strong Chinese community in Mexico and in the Dominican Republic and in, like, Jamaica.
There's a big population of Japanese in Peru as well.
In Peru as well, yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a strong, I think it's Filipinos. There's a lot of Filipinos in Guatemala.
Wow.
Yep.
I'm glad that they're, you know, they're kind of, I think, I don't know, it's the first time I've ever read something like that in a comic book. I haven't read any, like, Asian, Latino characters in a comic book.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't actually get this in reading it, because I might have just glossed over it, but Marisol is actually Afro-Latino.
Yes.
Her dad is Afro-Puerto Rican.
Oh, Afro-Puerto Rican.
Yeah, so so she, that makes her Afro-Latino. So that actually, I didn't get that when I read it the first time.
Mm-hmm. And so, it's, I assume both of her parents were Puerto Rican, because I have seen Puerto Ricans in all shades.
Yeah.
And colors. It didn't click that he was Afro Puerto Rican, which means she is Afro Puerto Rican as well. But it's the variety of people that you can see in Puerto Rico, and how they draw Puerto Rico is really, really great. And going back to what I was originally trying to say is that interaction between her and the other girl who is the tourist. She's like the tourist helper. She's the one who talks to tourists and stuff like that. And she's popular, and what she said to Marisol, and she said, like, this is like a telenovela, like, I'm the star and you're the helper.
Yeah.
Like, I was just like, holy shit, those are fighting words. Yeah. Like, those are words you get down to. But, very common for that manner of speak in other countries, in Central American countries.
Yeah, I guess you're right, because when I went to Nicaragua, they called me Chancha.
Chancha?
Chancha, right? Isn't that, I was like, oh, hell nah, those are fighting words. I'm gonna fight you right now.
I don't
know
what that means, though.
It's their word for saying pig. Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
So I'm like, whatever.
I mean, culturally, it's not the same. I understand that. But my United States American culture itself does not care.
when I was in Guatemala, they called me Chomali. And that can be, it's an endearment, but it basically translates to is big girl. And that can be that can either be like tall or like fat.
Yeah.
And then so they were just like they were just like Chomali, Chomali, and I was just like, oh my fucking god.
Stop it. We would be on the beach, and there was all the, like, little vendor people who are, like, trying to sell you stuff, whatever. We'd be on the beach, and these little Mexican boys would literally be chasing us. Gorditas! Gorditas! I'm like, no! Stop!
Just stop right there.
Like, they would call me Chamali, like, so, but, like, at, by the end of it, like, this wasn't the first time around, now I'm used to
right,
it.
Right, yeah.
But I still, I only let my family call me Chamali. Any other vendors who, like, it is, like, yeah. I know that word now. Yeah. They might think that I don't know, but I know yeah. that word now. And so when they call me Chamali, I'm just like, oh, hell no, you have no right to call me that. So I'm still very touchy about that. But it's, like, one of the, like, I still let my mom call me Gordita, so. Because she's family, but anybody else.
Right,
nah,
exactly. It's nah. not okay for you to call me that.
Exactly.
So, well, basically, in this comic book, I really, really love the fact that she's so about the earth, right? And I love yeah. the personality she has and mm-hmm. her relationship with her grandparents. I thought was really awesome. They got her a car, but she helps out working in the cafe. So I thought that was really cool. It looks like she's like a real rounded, a well-rounded individual. She's big on her studying and so forth. So, whoever was the powers that be to, you know, bestow these powers on someone, I think they did a good job of choosing the right mm-hmm. kind of person to carry out this this task,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was really cool. And I really love the comic book in the sense that there are panels where you see some of Puerto Rico's history.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh,
even
yeah.
though you might not be familiar with it,
yes.
it challenges you as a reader to go out and explore this history of,
yes.
Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm. It has a very rich history.
I mean, mm. how many Americans didn't even realize that Puerto Rico is an American territory before
territory.
All of this stuff that happening. And I don't even think that our president knew when he was called upon to act on the hurricane relief.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't think that that they understand what that means. And that
I don't think a lot of people even still realize that, you know, Puerto Ricans technically aren't immigrants.
Yes.
No, they're not immigrants.
Yes.
They're not immigrants
no.
at all.
No, they're citizens.
Well, they can't vote.
Well, yeah, you're right. They are more, to me, I think it's a technicality, honestly.
You're honestly a technicality.
Yeah.
The only thing they can't really do is vote and have an official representation in Congress.
Mm-hmm.
There's someone there, but
which
they
is
can't.
Ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's just ridiculous. They should have.
They should. And there was I believe in Obama's midterm ballot to see if Puerto Rico should be made into U.S. citizens, but surprisingly enough, it did not. A lot of Puerto Ricans
didn't want it.
Mm,
they
mm-hmm.
didn't, and I think that's an old school style of thinking.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of the younger, newer
yeah.
people did want it. But there's still the people who currently live in Puerto Rico is the older generation.
Right.
A lot of the newer generation already are in the state
yeah.
and already have U.S. citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, because it wasn't just for Puerto Rico itself, it was also all the other states who were voting
right.
in.
Yeah.
Let's be real here. All the other states didn't. They probably thought Puerto Rico still wasn't an actual official U.S. territory. But it is. Like, I firmly believe they should have the power.
I do too.
I love how this book goes into Spanish mode.
Good yeah.
I love that. I mean, mm-hmm. it's unapologetically like, this is it. If you want to know, you got to just look it up.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. I mean, if people love the story and the characters, I think that would take that extra step to, like, either actually try to read it themselves or have somebody else read it for them
mm-hmm.
And explain what it means. But I love that part. I love how they use some of the kind of ancient history. Kind of like
they tie in Puerto Rico's like actual like history and mythology
mm-hmm.
in it, and I thought that was really super cool because it's again one of those things that kind of gets swept under that this exists, that there was something before Puerto Rico as we know it
right
mm-hmm.
and that it's just that this was a country that was inhabited by indigenous people, mm-hmm, but it was lost.
Yeah,
that history was
they
lost.
Just kept with, getting
with old gods and such. Mm-hmm, I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that. I love the references to culture now, like mm-hmm. in the first the first instance we see her like as a superhero where she's like trying to save that airplane.
Oh yeah,
and then she
mentioned Supergirl,
right? Yeah. Exactly, and I was like, yes. She's like, I shouldn't trust a TV. I should trust physics, and uh-huh. I'm like, yes, girl, yes.
And I really did love it. I actually really like because in this panel when they show like the history of Puerto Rico and stuff like that, they also show the Pulse shooting, and it does mm-hmm. a really good job because a lot of when the Pulse shooting happened, it was during Latino night at the. And a lot of the people who died were Puerto Rican.
I didn't realize that it was Latino night.
Yeah, it was Latino night, and a lot of the people who died were Puerto Rican.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Damn. And so that's why they put it there.
Yeah.
Because I guess when it came out, the Pulse had barely just happened, or it had happened enough that it was still in the social conscious. But it was a lot of Puerto Rican. It was a lot of young Puerto Ricans who died.
Okay. That's interesting.
The mother of Boriken, I thought that was an interesting kind of when it went into that. I loved it.
Mix.
Yeah, I loved it because it was like time and space was not linear. It's kind of a constant going where, like, mm-hmm. You have to read it. You have to read it,
it was
because
so good,
it
yeah.
was just, I was like, my jaw was on the floor. I'm like, this is so good.
It was really good.
And that part was like, the transformation there was amazing.
It was amazing. And I think, I like, a lot of people don't realize, but Boriqueña, like Boricua, that's not Spanish.
Mm.
That is not Spanish. It is remnants of the language that used to be in Puerto Rico.
Oh, okay.
And you get that, sometimes.
Yeah.
It's a language that was adapted and fitted into Spanish, but it's still there. I don't know the actual status of what the actual name of what that language is, or if it's still being practiced,
uh-huh.
or if it's a dead language
yeah.
or not. And some of it you can still find in Puerto Rico, how they refer like Borinque, Boriqueña, Sancocha. It's just little remnants here and there of what was a language.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like when they mentioned Atabex and said like I am the mother of the mm-hmm. Boriken. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, oh, that's super sick. That's
I know, right? Mm-hmm. I love how there's a bunch of references to food.
Yeah.
That's like my favorite too. It's really great. I love how, like, the people of Puerto Rico are really welcoming to her.
Yeah.
Not like Superman in here where everybody's like, he's going to destroy us. No, it's like, no, man, you're part of us. You're wearing our flag colors.
Yeah. And you know? There's a short story at the end after her origin story that is a story that revolves around her and her best friend. And I loved at the end where the friend asks her, why do you call yourself that? And why did you take that name? And she's like, I didn't. The people gave it to me.
Yeah. I thought that was so beautiful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just so beautiful. And I love how I can't say this enough. I love how it's centered on, like, you know, the environment. There was a...
Environmentalist. There's that
term. Here we go. But I love that. I mean, there was a storm, and I mean, she also kind of relies a lot on what she studied as far as mm-hmm. physics mm-hmm. and mathematics.
She's a scientist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. She's a scientist before being a superhero.
Yeah.
And that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think this is a really well thought out character, mm-hmm. and I'm so happy that we have a Latina representation as a superhero.
And super body positive, too. She
oh,
is. is. Yeah. She's very, I think, in true to life as far as like her body shape. She's
the
not,
Latina physique.
Yes, the Latina yeah. physique.
Mm-hmm. And I love that when she's like her regular self, she has like her little braids and she has her glasses uh-huh. and she has her little asthma. So it's not like she's
her little asthma.
She's not like this bombshell that turns into a superhero. She's like a regular person mm-hmm. with regular issues, with some kind of health difficulties that, you know, becomes a superhero. And mm-hmm. I love that.
This is super awesome.
So, some chisme about La Borinquena. Not the thing that you shared.
Okay.
But the fact is that Edgar Miranda Rodriguez actually kind of solidified a partnership with DC recently.
Ooh, I know, right?
And they are going to be together coming out with a comic anthology that features La Borinquena along with main staple DC superheroes like Wonder Woman and Superman and Flash. And there is going to, yes, the anthology is actually going to be called Reconstruction. So instead of Reconstruction, Reconstruction.
like Puerto Rican.
Yeah, so R-I-C-A-N, Struction.
Yes.
Reminiscing and rebuilding Puerto Rico. The proceeds are all going to go to rebuilding the hurricane relief efforts that are over there right now rebuilding Puerto Rico. And it's due out May 23rd, so in a couple more months. You can pre-order it now at your LCS, or you can actually go on to their website, La Borinquena. It's La, L-A, hash, was it, not hashtag, slash, not slash, hyphen, there you go.
Oh, hyphen.
La-Borinquena.com. So that's La-Borinquena.com. And you can pre-order it there. But it's so cool. The book is going to really be full of personal stories and takes on La Borinquena from various comic creators. And specifically they're saying comic creators of color and Latinx celebrities. So Gabby Rivera is going to have a story. Also, Rosario Dawson is going to have a story, and novelist Esmeralda Santiago. They all contributed to the book.
Nice.
So, it says that several of the stories are going to feature a partnership, with La Borinquena and the superheroes like Wonder Woman, Batman, Flash, and they're going to embark on adventures that improve Puerto Rico.
That is so cool. That's really so legit. That is super awesome.
Yeah, so, I highly recommend that you go out there and you pre-order, let your LCS know that you want this book. If you also are looking to support with a book that is already out, there is Puerto Rico Strong that was released a couple of weeks ago by Lion Forge, that is also a comic anthology where the proceeds are going to help hurricane relief in Puerto Rico.
The cool thing about this Reconstruction book, it's already number one on Amazon Prime.
Ooh, really?
Yes, and it's 100% of the proceeds that go to the hurricane relief, which is amazing.
That's
cool. So that's amazing news. It only speaks to the fact that this is not only for a good cause, but also it must be a good storyline mm-hmm. for it to be number one. I mean, it's quite amazing. Mm-hmm. There's been so much love for this book, and I'm so glad that people are actually taking the time to actually buy a book for its story and for the good cause behind it. So,
I mean, it's a good cause. Obviously, it's a good cause. I love that all the proceeds are going. But honestly, I really love the fact that this partnership with La Borinquena and DC and these superheroes is in a way legitimizing La Borinquena as a superhero, uh-huh. as a character, as a Latina character, and I hope that actually it is the beginning of maybe something bigger for her as a character and for further books down the line.
I mean, I think it's doing really great on its own, but this is amazing. I think this is amazing. And congratulations. I mean, of course, they must have seen the content and must have agreed that she's a really great character. Mm-hmm. And great new character as far as superheroes are concerned.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely, because we can't get La Borinquena without going to the website, because it's not distributed by Diamond. So that's why I'm saying, like, I feel like this gives it legitimacy.
Yeah, is it... Diamond will see that this is something that people
want. I did not realize that.
Yeah,
and we will, and we might be able to order it off of Diamond and mm-hmm. have it in stock. Yeah.
Yes, and be able to spread the wealth to more readers.
Excellent. I'm so glad. So are you guys ready to rate it?
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely.
So
I'll start. Yes. I am giving it 3 conchas. Yeah, I really loved it. I want to see more about it. I want to see where it goes, and it's a pretty good origin story.
Yeah.
But I want to see more. I want to see the epic what other epic adventures she has. So, yeah, 3 conchas. Yeah.
I agree. I'm giving it 3 conchas on our scale, our concha scale for the book to review. I really enjoyed it a lot. The dialogue, the history,
yes.
All mm-hmm. of the mythology stuff. There's actually a lot in this book.
Yeah,
so I don't know how much was it when we purchased it.
I think it was $19.99 or
okay.
something like that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's a lot. It has what, like, basically like 4-5 issues?
I didn't count the issues, but mm-hmm. it has that extra story in the back.
Yeah, that's what
which I really like.
So I mean, it's pretty much, I would say, content-wise, like a trade.
Yeah, it's pretty much like a trade.
So for $19.99, you're getting a lot of story. So, yes, I highly recommend it, and I'm looking forward to this reconstruction and hopefully maybe seeing some more widely distributed Borinquena stories.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. This is Sarah, and I'm going to give it 3 conchas and a cup of champurrado all only because I really love her character as just who she is. I love her as a superhero, and I love her internal monologue.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. It's so, I don't know, I wouldn't call it Peter Parker-ish, but I'm going to call it, like, kind of positive and funny and...
Very new superhero.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. I think it's a really well-rounded, executed story. I am in love with it. I can't wait to read more about her. I can't wait to get to Puerto Reconstruction. because I'm happy to know that 100% of the proceeds are going to go to help the hurricane relief, but also because I'm going to be really happy to see old loved DC characters along La Borinquena. So I'm loving it. All around.
Awesome.
Love it.
Nice.
All right, guys. Now it's time for Juntos y Fuertes.
Okay, so this is Kristen, and I have my Juntos y Fuertes this time around. Juntos is a part of our podcast where we try to highlight groups or creators that are also members of marginalized groups and try to give them a little love and to spread the knowledge and information out there so that you all could maybe also support them. And today I am going to talk about a local theater here in Los Angeles in Boyle Heights called Casa 0101. I used to take girls when I was working at some of my previous jobs on field trips here, and they've actually expanded since then, but back then it was a tiny little like retail shop that was repurposed as a stage place. The awesome thing about this little theater is that it was started by Josefina Lopez. And if you guys don't recognize that name, she is the writer of Real Women Have Curves.
Oh.
Yeah. So
I actually saw her when I went to go see Lalo Alcaraz
uh-huh.
when he was selling that that print he made
Coco?
The print he made with the Elote.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Uh-huh.
I believe it's her restaurant. So yeah. Anyway.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's awesome.
Carry on.
Yeah, sorry. Josefina founded Casa 0101 in 2000, so it's been around for already 18 years.
Yeah.
And she really wanted to fulfill her vision of bringing art and life theater programs to the communities she grew up in, which is Boyle Heights. Mm-hmm. And so they operated for quite some time in the small little, it was so small, like I would say like maybe not even 40 chairs that were in there.
Were they all folding chairs?
Yes, they were all. Oh, my God. Chairs. And it was a bridal shop that they had converted into a black theater.
Oh, my God.
And so, but in 2011, they moved to a fully equipped 99-seat theater featuring an art gallery and dedicated classroom.
Wow.
Because they also offer community workshops in screenwriting and also acting. And they never turn anybody away for lack of funds. There is a cost, but if you show up and you say, I don't have money, they let you in or they'll work out. For free, or they'll work out a payment plan, whatever it is to get you in there and get you educated in screenwriting or acting or whatever, which I always thought was awesome. It was an awesome way for her to give back to the community. But the reason why I am highlighting Casa 0101 is right now it is Women History Month. And they are, I think this is the sixth year that they've done it, every March, March through April, they host or highlight a short story, like night, not night, because it goes throughout the, throughout the month, but show. There you go. I lost my word. And this year's show is called Chicanas, Cholas, y Chismes. Stand Up, Speak Out. And it is already playing. It's every Friday and Saturday at 8 o'clock and Sundays at 5. It plays all the way through April 15th. So there is still some time if you are in the area to go check it out. And the little description about the show is that Chicanas, Cholas, y Chisme is an all-Latina-driven stage production now in its sixth year committed to developing talent. Casa 0101 hosts a series of writing, acting, and directing workshops where no one is ever turned away for lack of funds. And it's from these workshops that the instructors, Claudia Duran, Lindsay Haley, was able to mine the talent of the playwrights and directors featured in this show, Chicanas, Cholas, y Chisme.
That's excellent.
That's awesome.
So it's 2 hours long, and there are, it's like short stories throughout the evening, and I don't see what, I cut it off of like how much it costs to go in, but mostly local shows, I would say anywhere probably from like $20 to $30 maybe, I don't know, but it's worth it, and the proceeds obviously are going back into supporting this theater.
Excellent.
That's awesome.
Really cool. Really, really cool. It's always wonderful to support the arts because it's so hard to find the inspiration, especially with Latinos. The parents are like, you have to study something that you can make a living out of. You know, so like art is out, comic book writing and drawing is out. So when you
find podcasting is out.
It's out.
So when you find somebody in an organization that supports you, I think it's worth supporting it as a community.
Yeah.
So maybe not have that latte and go down there and check out a show.
Yeah, definitely. I've been to several shows there.
I will have that latte and I will go to the show.
And they've all just been so great. The production quality is just amazing, and I highly recommend, if you don't catch this show, there's different shows all throughout the year. It is definitely an organization that's worth your support.
Nice, excellent. All right, guys, well, I believe that brings us to the end of our episode.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you guys have anything to add?
Well, again, you already mentioned it in the beginning, but a huge shout out and thank you to Fanbase Press for inviting us to be on the panel at WonderCon. We are, our next little, appearance will be at Heidi Ho Comics. Is it? Actually, yeah, Heidi Ho Comic-Con on May 5th. We'll be there with conchas because they're going to be allowing us to have conchas. And we'll also be at Los Angeles Cape. I don't know what the Cape stands for. Formerly Los Angeles, East LA Comic-Con. Mm-hmm. So I don't remember what Cape stands for anymore.
Comics. Okay, I'm out.
Yeah, that's it. All I can think about is comics, but East LA Cape, we will be there, and you can find us on social media.
Yep.
You on Twitter at Comic Comadres.
Yep. And then also on Instagram at Comadres y Comics.
We are also on Facebook. You can contact us via email at comadresecomics@gmail.com. And we have a Snapchat, so all of our activities are streamed on the Snapchat if you're so inclined. And that's where you can find us.
Yep. Awesome.
All right. We have been your hosts. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Kristen.
And I'm Jen.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Okay, bye.
Bye.